broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. 5th Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
You know what I think I'm going to do then? Just for the hell of it. Tell me. I'm going to take this right foot, and I'm going to whop you on that side of your face. And you want to know something? There's not a damn thing you're going to be able to do about it.
Really?
Really?
There you go, Billy Jack. Good way to get hour number two cranked up here. 615-844-5600 on Twitter at Bill is King. And if you want to email the show, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Jeff in Chicago says the 19-9 three-point line was 86-87. So somewhere right in there. 86-87. I knew it was somewhere mid-80-ish. Oh, Dave, big Penn State fan, says Bill Phil Troutwine to the offensive line. Yeah, he's a Gator. He signed with my boy Zucker, played his ball up in New Jersey, and then was part of the 06 and 08 Florida Natties with Urban Meyer. Spent a little time in the NFL, if I don't remember exactly, and had been at Boston College, actually, on that staff, so got hired. I mean, that's a solid hire. I don't know that that brings a whole lot of cachet with it, good or bad. I'm not bad at all, just... Yeah, you got to understand, my boy is Herb Hand. Herb Hand was up there. I remember when Herb came back in the summer after he'd taken the job at Penn State, and we had this Cajun place we always went to in Franklin, right on the main street, main drag, and got closed down here within the last year or two, whenever it was. But that's where me and Herbie would always meet, and we were talking about the Penn State O-line and Penn State's offense and things of that nature. And he was pumped up about it. He really didn't want to leave. He did not want to leave the 615, but when that's your job, you go to many different cities. So from the 615, he ended up at Penn State. Then he ended up at Auburn, and now he's at Texas. And I don't know. Considering the traits of Tom Herman right now, I don't know what the future holds. I have not talked to Herb Hand in a while. Used to talk to him all the time, but I haven't been in touch with him in a while. But obviously things at Texas, very, very iffy. Another bad year next year. Well, according to Catch, remember we had Catch on, Jeff Catchum, he said that Texas is in no mood, even though they've got unlimited money to pay Herman off. They don't want to do that. Texas wants to be Cal Berkeley / Stanford Monday through Friday and Alabama on Saturday. You can't do that. It's a constant battle. Vanderbilt wants to be Harvard and Cal Berkeley Monday through Friday. And I don't even know. I don't think they want to be anything on Saturday either. That would be the difference. Vanderbilt does not have aspirations to be Harvard and Cal Berkeley Monday through Friday, which basically they are Monday through Friday. And then on Saturday, as opposed to Texas that wants to be Alabama on Saturday, they just can't do it. Alabama, Vanderbilt doesn't even have aspirations on Saturday. I don't know. If you folks were to guess what Vanderbilt's aspiration on Saturday would be, what would it be? To put on as bad a product as you could possibly think of and watch nobody show up for the game other than the opposing team's fan base? That has to be Vanderbilt's goal, because that's what they do on Saturday. That's all they've got. Now, this is an interesting story. How many of you have seen this one? Gator Brandon brings this one up. It's about Jay Hardy. Jay Hardy is a defensive lineman in Chattanooga. A defensive lineman in Chattanooga that's very highly recruited. And he's been committed to Auburn. And Tennessee continued to recruit him, which is normal. During recruiting, if a guy is committed somewhere and you really want him, you stay on him until signing day. Now, there seemed to be either some confusion or ignorance in what has happened here, because apparently Jay Hardy had signed during the early window, December 18th, 19th, and 20th. Tennessee apparently did not know this. Now, here's what I don't quite understand. Isn't it a fact or not that his name did not show up as a NLI, National Letter of Intent, for everybody, immediately when searched? Let's say back in late December. Is it really proven? Now, here's what I don't know. Is it really proven that Tennessee was just so ignorant and out of touch that they didn't know that he'd signed? They could have looked it up. It was there in front of them, but they continued to foolishly recruit him, not knowing that he had signed. Now there's some culpability here. This kid could have told everybody, but he didn't. And this went on and on and on until recently, when he said he's shutting everything down. And then it got revealed that he signed. So there's some fault on this kid. I've seen some people tweet, well, he just wants attention. He deserves it. No. If you've got somebody recruiting you still and you've signed, that's freaking wrong. Don't give me this crap. He deserves his day in the sunlight. BS. If you've signed, you don't deserve the right to mislead everybody. The hell with that opinion. That is a stupid opinion. I've seen people tweet that garbage. No, he does not have the right to limelight if he's already signed. If other teams are recruiting him, he's got the right to lead them on, Bill. It's his turn. Not after he signs, he doesn't. Wrong. Dead ASS wrong. Now, Tennessee kind of looks bad, too. If it was that evident, but why did nobody else know this? Why did this just now come out within the last couple of days? I'm confused a little bit here. But no, he does not have the right to have his time in the glory of being coveted. No, he does not. Don't make the rules up. I invented this stuff. Don't tell me how this is supposed to work. I tell you how this is supposed to work. Georgia Dog says, Bill, your thoughts on Monken? I've opined on this a bunch. That's a good hire. Yeah, Georgia. All of you bowl cut haters, and there's lots of you out there, you don't like bowl cut. Bama fans do not like bowl cut, because Saban doesn't like bowl cut. Karen doesn't like bowl cut. Florida fans do not like bowl cut. I'm guessing Tennessee fans don't like bowl cut, too. I'm not saying you've got to like bowl cut, but bowl cut has done a good job at Georgia. And getting Jamie Newman and Todd Monken is a big couple of gets for the Dogs. Absolutely. Todd Monken, let me just give you the history again here on the show. If you want a little, what can he do? Go back to 2011, Oklahoma State. The best Oklahoma State team probably in the history of the school. He was the offensive coordinator for the Mullet. Now, since then, he left for Southern Miss, a couple of other jobs, NFL jobs. Things did not go so well. That's got nothing to do with being an offensive coordinator. He is very good. Yeah, in 2011, just let's review the history again for those who missed it last week when I was talking about this, was the year that Oklahoma State felt like they had the biggest beef as to why there should not be an LSU-Alabama repeat game. Now, I thought there should be an Alabama-LSU repeat game, which there was a repeat game. That was the right matchup. The game sucked. Yes, the game did suck because of LSU. But that was the right matchup. The repeat game was the correct matchup, regardless of what the rest of America kicked and screamed about, like a bunch of children in timeout. It was the right idea. But Monken is a very good offensive mind, and if allowed, which I assume Bolcutt will let him do his thing, I'm hoping, then that is a very good addition. I like that a lot. Yeah, I check off. I endorse that move. Getting Jamie Newman and now getting Todd Monken is the way you handle things. Lots of schools, Southern Cal, just sit there and swim in mediocrity and do nothing. They do. They just sit still and they do nothing. Nothing. But the ones that are proactive go out and make the moves that are necessary. Now, we'll see if Alabama does anything, because Alabama's got a problem. They've got a defensive coordinator who is not worthy of being the defensive coordinator at Alabama, Pete Golding. No offense, I'm sure he's a good guy, but he is not fit to be Alabama's defensive coordinator. We'll see if anything gets done there. Here's what we do need to get done. Break time. I'll get a call when we come back. 615-844-5600. Goggin, Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Tim Harbaugh ain't never done nothing. He's the possible version of a Kardashian without the nice ass.
Good morning. Traffic still holding up on here as far as really bad interstate accidents. Now, we had that earlier one that's since been cleared on the Solomon Evans Bridge. That's 24 westbound before you get to Shelby. Now, finishing up a wreck going to westbound, all right, 40 between Riley and Charlotte Pike. The heavy slow is coming eastbound because you got all that traffic on 40 east now coming out of Dixon County up to Kingston Springs. Hey, be sure to check out Ober Gamelberg's Ober Rocks 2020. It's happening this Saturday. All the details now at obergamelberg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business, and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches, plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30. Catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
Hey, what you reading?
It's called The Ledger. There's a great column on the Titans.
So it's a sports publication?
No, not just sports. Like, see here, there's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. And you can get all the information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene. There's profiles of community leaders and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports?
Yes, including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Expensive?
Is free expensive?
Free, huh?
Yeah, grab you one at hundreds of locations and tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Hey, Bill King here. You want to get your business on my show? Let me explain something. Our advertisers are not just local. We have such a huge streaming audience that our advertisers are everywhere. So if you want to grow your business, you want us to help you do that, email BillisKing7, that's number 7, BillisKing7@gmail.com. We'll get right back to you. We'll get your business on the radio, and we'll help you grow your business. Contact us if you want your brand to grow on my show, BillisKing7@gmail.com.
Number one college sports show on the planet, the Bill King Show.
Well, let me just say this to all my brethren in the South. Hey, man, I frankly don't give a damn about none of y'all, black, white, orange, green. And if I had my way South, I would go get a pair of scissors and cut everything off the damn map from Ohio below and this east of Texas.
See, I don't understand that. If you did that, if you cut everything off, and let's just say all of us are now just floating in the Caribbean, we're not connected at all, you got no college football. What, just rig it for Ohio State where it's just Ohio State? Ohio State then doesn't even have a competitor, right? Michigan's not competing with them right now. Who do they play? If they snip us all off, and right now we're doing the show except we're floating in the Caribbean. So we're disconnected. What are you going to do? You got nobody. You take the most college football rich area, the South, and you eliminate it. That would not be good, Black. Not a good idea. Bad idea there. Bad. Is Jim still with us, Crazy Charlie? Let's try. What's up, Jim up in Ramsey heading to the NYC?
Good morning, Bill. How's everything, my friend?
We're well, good friend. What's up with you?
Hey, Bill, how great was it watching Mahomes yesterday? Because you just, like you said before, it's like watching college football with professional players. But would you say that the style of the NFL has been so influenced by college because of the type of offenses that they're running in high schools and colleges?
Let me buttress that. Forever. Jim, you know this, centuries, we were told that you can't run the college stuff in the NFL, all right? That's for amateurs, and plus, it's risky, and you'll get killed doing it. You can't have people running around out there. The defenses are too physical. You'll get killed. And you know what? Over the last, 10 years or whatever it is, college has had way more influence over the NFL than vice versa. You are dead on right.
I love it. I love it.
I do, too.
Hey, Bill, Chiano, I got to tell you, he has pulled so many kids off out of the transfer portal that I think Rutgers can at least hold the fort this year, where, you know, they can at least compete somewhat, and it's unbelievable.
Well, I hope so. Now, you know me. I'm a skeptic, so I've got to see it. We got to get them on the field. I'm not going to believe a whole lot of spring practice stuff because I'm not a big subscriber there. But when they get on the field, if Greg can prove some things, then I'll become a believer. I like Greg. Now, I'll tell you, Greg and I, towards the end there at Rutgers, before he took the Tampa job, his recruiting started waning again. He had already peaked out, and I remember having him on, maybe in my last interview with him, and we went down the top 15, 20 players in New Jersey, and they got one. And I remember asking him, Jim, what's up with that? Because it had been a big deal to get New Jersey kids to keep them home. And his reply to me was, well, they just didn't fit what we needed, which is code for we didn't get them or we were too lazy. I hope he's got renewed energy. I assume he does, but that was a cop-out back then. Towards the end, that was a cop-out, and that was very disappointing to me.
Bill, I went to the Rutgers Penn State basketball game 2 weeks ago with Jimmy.
Right.
And the place was electric, but Chiano's at all the basketball games. They had 200 recruits, juniors and sophomores at the game yesterday against Minnesota. And there's a big high school sports writer about recruiting in New Jersey, Todrick Hunt. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. But it seemed like a third of these kids are already saying, I want to stay home. So if he can build up that culture locally within the state, I mean, if you could keep one-third of the four-star kids from going out of state, I think he's got a chance. But, I mean, the Big Ten East, or the right side of the Big Ten, is so tough. But, you know what, it's definitely better than it was, and there's some excitement, which is great to see.
Well, I hope so. By the way, is there an update on the house? Was he able to buy that house out from that dude?
Oh, I don't know. I gotta look into that. That was a funny story.
That was. I read that one you sent me. That was good.
Oh, Bill. But no, I would love them to have some kind of like spring college league. Get the 1AA's to play in the spring. Do something, because people would watch it. There's such a demand for content these days. I mean, now they're going to have another professional league in the spring. I don't know, but, you know, I miss it already, Bill.
Stay in touch, buddy.
See ya.
Yeah, just to give you the story, when Chiano was at Rutgers, we'd have him on the show, and got to remember, he had him to the point where they were getting ranked some of the top 10 in the Big East. Good league back then, USF, Louisville, Rutgers. Man, it was good. It was good league. Anyways, and he was talking about this house he built over there by campus. Real close. Just literally basically on campus almost. Anyways, when he left for Tampa, obviously he sold it. Well, this dude bought it, who's not a big fan of football or anything. He's an older guy, and he bought it because his son lived next door, to be next to his son. So weeks back, months back, when Chiano got the job again, they went to that guy's house and asked him, would you be interested in selling? He said, sure. I don't really, not here because I'm connected to Rutgers or anything. I just bought the house to be next to my son. So apparently that was a possible thing. I don't know. But I remember Greg tell us about the place, so that's why I thought about that. And then I didn't even know there was talk about it until Jim sent me an article on it. Oh, another note I just saw today, it reminded me, today is the deadline to declare, even though there is a 3-day window where if you're having remorse, you can back out. Obviously, you can't sign with an agent and back out, but today is technically the deadline. And a lot of players will be making mistakes by declaring, but that's their prerogative. They're free to do that. They should be. Jeff in the Borough.
What's going on, Bill?
So, yeah, I'm watching the game. Coach Cal gets kicked out. What's up with that?
Well, you know, he keep flopping, Bill. They're not going to call anything, so you got to do something. And it took 45 minutes to play that final minute. I hate these monitors. I'm going to bust every monitor in every arena in the country. I'm sick and tired of it. They keep going to the monitor every
Hey, looks
every
like to me
minutes.
Kentucky got better when he left. They maybe they need
I know,
to
they
think about
19,
that.
Yeah, went on a 15-2 yeah. run or something like that.
Maybe just
47.
Fire him and let the assistants coach him.
Oh, yeah, they'll be all right. Payne's all right. Kenny Payne, and we got Robic, and you know, and all that stuff. So they'll do fine. They say he did it on purpose. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say. So I don't know, but who knows? But they made enough plays late and beat Arkansas. Arkansas is a lot better than they've been in the past. Musselman's done a good job with him. So
Musselman has done a good job. That's going to turn out to be a good hire, I think.
Yeah, it is. He's done a good job. job with them. That crowd was all over them Saturday. It was sold out, so they did a good job. But Bill, do you know what this is? The Learfield Directors Cup. You know what that is?
I guess it's just where they rank all the sports and then they declare a champion, right?
Since the fall sports are over, they've got the rankings for it right now. Rankings for it, you know, the top, I think it's 200 or 300 schools, whatever it is, and there's 9 schools in the top 25 from the ACC, and the SEC's top team is the Bank of College Station, Texas A&M, they're 13th. Arkansas.
That's because Karen paid them off, but go ahead.
She paid Jimbo to win 7 games, so they get some points in football. But they got other sports besides football, volleyball, and different other stuff. But Arkansas is 24th. They're second in the league. And Florida and Kentucky are 30th and 31st. But there was an article in the paper Saturday about it. And Memphis leads the state. They have the highest ranking. And Tennessee is close to 100. And they said that if Tennessee gets in the top 40 in the Director's Cup, that a Fulmer gets a bonus. Gets a bonus about, I think, close to $100,000 or something if they finish in the top 40. So I don't know what they'll do the rest of the way.
And they vote. I heard they voted Vanderbilt's football stadium the best stadium in America, too.
I know, yeah. Well, they voted that, Bill, and they voted Alabama's Coleman Coliseum the best basketball facility in the Southeastern Conference. You know that, don't you? It's got so much room and up spacious and everything. And they figured they'd vote that and everything. So, Bill, are you going to watch the XFL when the NFL's over? It'd be more football for you to watch.
By accident, probably.
You can watch Bob Stoops and Hal Mummy out there coaching you.
If it's on TV and I happen to walk by and it grabs me, but would I schedule a time to watch one of those games? No.
Okay, I didn't know if you would or not, but I know they're doing some different rules. They're trying to prevent overtimes, like they're having a one after touchdowns, 1 point conversion, 2 points, and 3 points. So trying to prevent overtimes and stuff, just some different rules and things. But after the Super Bowl's over. But I know it's a sad day in Nashville, Bill. The Titans lost, and I know just people are so sad today they can't stand it. But, that's what you get when Patrick Mahomes runs all over you and gets that 27-yard run for the half and then couldn't do nothing in the second half. Where was King Henry, Bill? I thought he was the best running back in the league, but they did have a note, Bill, that the last leading rusher in the NFL to make the Super Bowl was 2005. So 69 yards and 19 carries, not a very good day for King Henry. That offensive line didn't do very well. But a good season for the Titans, but just come up a little bit short. But hang in there, Bill, and it'll be just four or five more months and another season of college football will be upon us. Hang in there.
Yeah. Derrick Henry, they list him at 6'3", 247. There's no way. He is 6'4", 6'5", probably about 270 is what he looks like. Well, the reason why his numbers weren't conducive is they weren't able to feature him. Once the game started getting away from them, they couldn't feature him. That wasn't his style of game. If you're chasing Patrick Mahomes, Derrick Henry's probably not going to be the feature in a game like that. Doesn't take away from the year he had, which was fantastic. But, yeah, I'd say, you know what, after that, just go ahead and move him back to linebacker. Remember out of high school, he can't play running back. I was reading an article, I know we need to get the break, and they went back and they talked to the high school coach back at Yulee in the Jacksonville area, and Lou Gimbill was telling everybody that he couldn't play running back. Not like Tom, but he was telling everybody. And it said something like, if Derrick Henry saw Lou Gimbill, he'd like to punch him. Again, I'm not anti-Luke's at all. Luke's used to do our show every week. Very good. He was not right on that, though. No. All right, let's get the bottom of the hour here. Coming right back. Monday edition. Oh, Balls of Steel coming up, hour 3. Goggin, Cold Hall Studios. Omni Nashville Hotel.
When you're going from Natty Light to Nickel 12 to Popcorn Bill, you know your college football Saturday's probably going in the wrong direction.
What if I told you
they shot him?
There was a Tennessee fan with a tattoo of Lane Kiffin on his left butt cheek? What if I told you he keeps a fifth of Dickel number 12 in his orange Tony Lama boots on game day? What if I told you he coined the term Fatmer? ESPC 30 for 30 presents The Cattleman from Cosby.
Hell, he beat Saban. Freeze can coach. He might cheat and call the hookers, but he can coach football.
Good morning. We're looking live at this crash over to the right-hand side here on 40 westbound. Before you get to Charlotte Pike, the heaviest flow of traffic in the morning time is eastbound on I-40 as you come in from Kingston Springs from Dixon County there on 40 going eastbound. Again, the wreck is in the westbound lanes. Hey, be sure to check out Ober Gallenberg's Ober Rocks 2020, January 25th. It's coming up this Saturday. You can check it out, obergallenberg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Inner Zen Outer Beauty, located on the fourth floor of Omni Nashville Hotel, Makara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the luxury of the signature Makara Spa as you're pampered with an ultimate spa experience. Treat yourself to everything from a soothing facial to full salon services in the heart of downtown Nashville. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600 or visit the Makara Spa on the Omni Nashville website. As always, valet is complimentary, and any service booked Monday through Thursday grants you full access to our rooftop pool and bar.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Well, this morning, a mainly clear sky, sunshine today, the high 34, partly cloudy tonight, low 20. Tuesday, sunny, high 40. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high 48. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network, I'm meteorologist Jim Rinaldi on National Sports Radio WNSR.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
I'm the guy that holds the belt above my head.
Something I mentioned in hour one, but I do want to repeat it. Found out yesterday on Twitter that David Clymer had passed away. Yeah, I was absolutely shocked. Number one, I hate that I had to find out that way, but I had no idea he was sick. Turns out he was battling cancer. It was a really quick, believe he found out over Thanksgiving, somewhere around then, and it was a very progressive cancer. And had come back to the 615. He lived here. Actually, you know where Climb Dog lived? He lived in the borough all those years. His wife worked actually in the hospital business, in the front office, in the hospital business forever. And David was with the Tennessean forever. And David did, I don't know how many radio shows with us, but zillions of them. I couldn't count how many. He did shows with us at every station, WLAC, WTN, WNSR, every station, and was good, was very, very good. He was a columnist before he actually had the Tennessee beat, University of Tennessee beat. Now, Johnny Majors and that group, they liked Clymer. The old guard, they liked Clymer. They did not like me. No. But they liked Clymer. And Clymer was a tough columnist. I mean, you folks who can go back, his columns got everybody stirred up. He was not a let's comfort everybody dude. His columns were always critical and would stir the pot big time and had you folks mad as you know what. But Clymer was good. His job was to do that. Wasn't to pacify you or me. He was the ultimate contrarian, David Clymer. Came from Lebanon, Tennessee. And was good at what he did. I had no idea. He and his wife had always planned, and they did, retire to Fripp Island, which is off the coast of South Carolina. Fripp Island. They've been talking about it. They used to, when they would vacation, that's where they would go. They would not go down to the Emerald Coast. They'd go over to South Carolina. They found a place that they really liked, and they bought a place there, and that's where they were living. Now, I assume he had come back. I wasn't in touch with him. I regret that. And I assume they'd come back to get him treated, probably at Vanderbilt, I'm guessing. But I literally saw that on Twitter. Mike Organ tweeted it yesterday. It was yesterday afternoon, and I just remember sitting there going, what did I just see? So rest in peace, Climb Dog. Gonna miss you, buddy. Gonna miss you. Always enjoyed him. Now, again, he stirred the pot, man, and he made people. Bob Bell, because before he became a columnist with the Tennessean, he had the Tennessee beat. And he would write lots of critical things about the Vols. When he was good, he'd write good stuff, too. But any critique, he was on top of it. Bob would turn shades of purple, blue, red, orange, back to purple. Oh. You're talking about stirring it up. The Climb Dog knew how to do that better than any columnist the Tennesseans had. I can tell you that. Certainly in sports. 30 for 30 Grant. Bill, and he's a big Georgia fan, he says, Bill, Kirby had some soul searching after the SEC championship game. Kirby must have been monitoring the show, Bill. Offense will be dramatically different in Athens. Yeah, if you're going to bring in Jamie Newman and you're going to bring in Todd Monken, then you are admitting we got noticeably stale and bogged down offensively. We need a new injection of energy. That's what this has done. Yeah, I absolutely endorse the changes at Georgia. The things that are going to be new to the spring and to the team next year. Isn't that ironic? Back to what we were talking about. I remember going back to when I was a kid. I remember asking my dad, why don't they run the wishbone in the pro game? I was like eight. Dad, why don't they? Because in the 70s, Alabama changed their way of doing things to the wishbone. Texas was doing it. Oklahoma, lots of schools were doing it, way more than today. I mean, immeasurably more than today. And he said, well, son, one reason is it'd be hard to hold up in the NFL with the defenders as big and strong as they are. It'd be hard to keep quarterbacks and running backs healthy. But if you get a quarterback hit every play running the wishbone in the pro game, you get killed. And that still is true. Now, that's I'm not trying to say that's not the case. But they do run the quarterbacks more liberally now. And these offenses like Kansas City, I mean, that Kansas City is a college team, except with pro, super pro personnel, right? Kansas City's fun to watch. I got to admit, I told you, I don't like the Sunday game. It bores me to death. Kansas City does not bore me. They're fun to watch. They are very fun to watch. I don't get to see all their games. I don't plan around it like I do college. But I got to tell you, if there's one team that grabs me, Patrick Mahomes, all those scat backs, those running backs, all that speed. Oh, and I'm a big Travis Kelce guy. He's a Cincinnati guy. Played it at Cincinnati. And wasn't a big name. Well, I think he's about a three-star recruit. But has been, once he got going in the NFL, has been, he's probably, I'm assuming he's the best tight end in the league. He's right there at the top. Now, he didn't have a huge game yesterday like he did in the prior game, like he did in the Texans game, where he dominated. But I love watching him play. And those receivers and Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, now that's fun. I actually sat there and watched that. Jeff, too. Says, Bill, earlier, Florida State basketball was referenced. Yeah, Jim and Jupiter said Florida State's about to be ranked higher than at any time in his life. Basketball. He says, Jeff does, it's been mentioned before but deserves another reminder. Florida State was the national runner-up in 72. They lost to UCLA that year. 81-76. Knowles head coach was Hugh Durham, who later went on to become the head coach at Georgia and took them to the Final Four at 83. Yeah, Hugh, during that stretch, Hugh was recruiting Dominique Wilkins, Terry Fair. I mean, he was recruiting some ridiculous talent. Now, actually in 83 when they got to the NCAA tournament and lost to Valvano's dream, that team that upset their way to the championship over Houston. Neek had already turned pro, so they got to the Final Four the year after he left, which was ironic. The big player for Florida State on that team you were talking about in 72 was Artis Gilmore. Big 7'2 center, went on to play forever, pro ball. Phenomenal talent, Artis Gilmore back then. I just remember, what was it? Was it 89? Florida State came here, ironically, to Vanderbilt, to Memorial Gym for the NCAA tournament. Vanderbilt was one of the sites in the early games, and they played MTSU, and Bruce Stewart and MTSU upset them. I was at that game in Memorial Gym. I remember it specifically. Huge win for MTSU and Bruce Stewart. I think that was 89. We've talked about it before. Somebody correct me if I've got that year. It was one of those 88, 89. I think it was 89, though. Maybe it was 88. Huge. And then the next game here at Memorial Gym, MTSU ran into Virginia and lost. But it was one of the bigger upsets. Now, MTSU had a huge upset, too, in Memorial Gym again over Kentucky, which would have been in 82 or 83. Same gym, if I'm not mistaken. I remember listening to that game on the radio. I was not at that game, the 82 game. I was at the 88-89 game. All good. Okay, one more break here. Hour number two, Monday edition. Hope you had a really good weekend. Goggin, Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
What if I told you there was a football whiz from Auburn that only needed 1 second to beat Alabama? What if I told you he can chew gum and pee sitting down at the same time? What if I told you he wears his sweater vest while he makes love to his wife? ESPC 30 for 30 presents Gus, This Bus Is on Fire.
Good morning. I just finished up that wreck on 40 westbound. It was right before you get to Charlotte Pike on 40 going west. Traffic still moving eastbound out in that area where normally it's really heavy this time of the morning. A lot of folks with the day off today. They're moving a crash at Brick Church Pike at Bellshire and also clearing up a crash in the 6400 block of Eaton's Creek there in Jolton. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Maybe you've heard the name before. You've never tried it. It's worth a drive to 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steakhouse in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available. The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com. And now, All Brothers Truck Repair, our one-stop shop for all your truck needs, located at 845 Visco Drive, is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. This message is from All Brothers Truck Repair. Veteran-owned and operated with 40 years of experience, they're the experts for all your truck repair needs. Stop on by 845 Visco Drive or call today at 615-242-5103. All Brothers Truck Repair, proudly saluting our troops, veterans, and first responders.
The George Plaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It works out the way it should be.
The George Plaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Plaster Show.
This is going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio. He knows more about the oblong spheroid than any man in America. It's Bill King.
We urge you to pay these prices and please pay no more.
Do you ever go to a game at Tennessee football, Neyland Stadium? Not now, but that voice is Bobby Dent. He did that forever.
We urge you to pay these prices and please pay no more.
For many, many years, forever, he was there. He was the famous PA guy at Neyland Stadium. I don't know how many decades he did that, but it seemed like forever. He was a radio guy up there. I think he was the head of the sales department or the general manager at a talk station up there in Knoxville for many years. He passed away, but used to do that. Couple things here, and then we'll get the call. No Kev up in the Chicago area. Bill, he says, I don't follow college basketball very close, but this seems like the kind of year where you could have multiple 16 against one upsets the way the top-ranked teams are going down. Well, that historically is not a thing, but, to buttress, we're using that a lot today, your comment This is about as bad as I can recall college basketball being, collectively, college, men's college basketball. It's just not a good look. There's very little excitement or energy around college basketball. And the traditional powers, I mean, Kentucky's a threat, but they're still a little up and down. When you transition as many young guys as they always do, that can happen. North Carolina, Duke, not interesting. Kansas, somewhat, but not really, I don't think. UCLA's in the tank. They've been in the tank. The traditional names, Indiana's inconsistent. It's just not, it's not a good look at all. College, men's college basketball has had an identity crisis forever now, and they still don't know what to do about it other than just restart the next season. It's just, this is not a new thing. Now, some years are more interesting than others, correct, but no, this has been a problem for quite some time. I used to talk about it on SiriusXM a lot. Stir up the basketball purists. They don't like that. You're talking about taking away your A2 rights. They didn't want you saying that now, which made me say it even more. Hey, Dane, what is up, sir? Hello, Dane. We lost Dane. I figured Dane went to the Tennessee game at Memorial Gym Saturday night and fell asleep. That's what I'm guessing. Even though now Dane's a Tennessee fan, his team won handily. Maybe he didn't fall. Well, no, Vanderbilt's lack of fight back probably put you to sleep. Being a Tennessee fan, you always want to beat Vanderbilt and vice versa, but it was so boring you just napped out right there at the game. It was that pathetic. Nathan on Twitter, he's an angry Vandy fan. This is in response to Coach Marshall talking about entering the fan transfer portal. He says, guys, nobody at Vanderbilt would care if we did do that. It's become more and more of a liberal hellhole every day at Vanderbilt. Maybe it's just time we go find a new home. Well, we got lots of issues. Oh, and by the way, 614 Rob, Balls of Steel nominations coming up next hour. But Vanderbilt wants to be, let's just for all of you, who, because all of you have your favorite campus, your favorite school, whichever school that might be, anywhere in America. But on that campus, you have the things you like and maybe a few things you don't like. Maybe things are going so well on your campus, you like all of it. Depends on where you're at and who you like. But Vanderbilt wants to be Harvard along with Cal Berkeley Monday through Friday. And then they want to pretend like Saturday matters. And then you go see the product and you realize the lie you have been sold for God knows how long. James Franklin, an exception here or there, yeah. But for the most part, a lie that's been going on for 50 years, if not longer, there. And they bring a new guy in who doesn't know as much about Vanderbilt as Vanderbilt fans do, and he's going to rally the troops, which is another lie. It's a perpetual motion lying machine, West End. 614 Robin, we'll get this in the next hour, but I'll just tease it. Balls of Steel, Bill, for saying he enjoyed watching Kansas City football. That is, so I get the first Balls of Steel. Okay, next hour we'll do that. Okay. Karen must be in La La Land. She pulls up the story about Jay Hardy, which we addressed for I don't know how long earlier. Yeah, it is a strange story because the inference is Tennessee could have looked this up, but they kept recruiting this kid. I don't know if that – I don't have a clear – facts and info on this story. I don't think he was listed in the NLI originally. It's on there now. But yeah, we'll get back to that a little bit. My biggest takeaway is people saying, well, this kid deserves the right and the limelight. And no, he doesn't. If he signed his NLI and he's got people still recruiting him, he does not deserve that limelight. That is 180 wrong. Balls of Steel, Hour 3.
That was the case, but, you know, I slept on it, and about 2, I made a call and said, you know, what Fred want to do?